Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. As always, I'm your host, Anthony Donahue, with you, going to take you up till 10 p.m. right here on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. As always, you can hit me on Facebook, facebook.com/AnthonyPDonahue. You can follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG, and you can log on to my website, www.AnthonyDonahue.com. And for all your up-to-date New York Knicks information, please log on to www.TheKnicksBlog.com. And as always, you can pick up your phone and you can call this show at 646-478-5554. Once again, that's 646-478-5554. As always, I have a big show planned for you. We'll be joined by Jerry Ferrara, the man who played Turtle in the famous show Entourage, who is a huge Knicks fan. So Jerry will join the show in a little while, and I'll be taking your calls throughout the evening right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. And as I said, that's 646-478-5554. Once again, that's 646-478-5554. Pick up your phone and give me a buzz. Last night at the Garden was just a good old-fashioned ass-kicking. The Knicks got smacked around, played around like a bunch of fools. And I am not making excuses for them. I thought it was an awful performance, but it by no means it is a performance that I'm worried about. I'm not one of those fans after last night that said, how dare they? I did not think the Knicks came to play last night. I thought they were a little lethargic. But also, not to make excuses for the boys in orange and blue, playing without I'm not going to count Amari Stoudemire and Iman Shumpert, even though, I mean, they're counted, but they haven't been there all year. But playing last night without Rasheed Wallace, playing last night, well, Marcus Camby still gets to be a factor, and playing with, obviously, without their MVP, and maybe the league MVP, Carmelo Anthony, is a huge deal. The Knicks have shown they can win without Carmelo Anthony, a nice win versus the Cleveland Cavaliers Saturday night, obviously a great win a few weeks, 2 weeks ago against the Miami Heat down in Miami. But the bottom line is playing without Carmelo Anthony is not easy. And last night was a game that caught up to them, and the Rockets just smacked the Knicks around. Chris Copeland was a bright spot. It almost feel like he had 70 points. It's like he scored every time he touched the basketball, but he finished with 29 points. And if you look at the score of the game last night, it wasn't that close. I mean, the final score was 109-96. I mean, the Rockets were in control most of that second half. I mean, the Knicks actually cut the lead to about 5 or 6 points with, you know, in the first 2 minutes of this third quarter. But then after that, the Rockets just hit a lot of three-pointers. And the Knicks really didn't shoot well from the three-point line last night, something that's been a huge weapon for the New York Knicks, going 9-for-31 from downtown. So if you're shooting out from 31 from downtown, you're without your best player. There's a good chance you're not going to win the basketball game. And last night, the Knicks did not win the basketball game. The Knicks will be home tomorrow night for round 3 versus the Brooklyn Nets, the first time the Brooklyn Nets will be facing the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. And as a fan, I'm excited, I'm pumped up, I'm fired up, but I'm bothered about something. And what I'm bothered about is that this is the third time the Knicks and Nets have played this year, and we're in mid-December, and there is a lot of season left. The schedule makers put too many Knicks-Nets games on early in the season. They play again in January, and they're not going to play again until maybe the playoffs. Bad job by the schedule makers, especially the fact that Knicks and Nets, they, you know, it's not like you have to travel far to play them. They really need to, next year. I don't even want to think about next year right now, but make these games close. Make these games month and a half apart. Why all these games quick? I mean, these Knicks-Nets games, the first two have been classics. The first two have been awesome. I mean, why have them all together? I'm not really feeling that. 646-478-5554. So the Knicks will play the Nets tomorrow night at Madison Square Garden. They'll play the Bulls Friday night at the Garden as well. Finish up the homestand against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and then head out to the West Coast and play the Los Angeles Lakers on Christmas Day, where not much is going right in L.A. right now. But I really don't feel bad, because the Laker fans have seen five championships over the last 12 years. But I'm sure when Steve Nash comes back, they will right the ship. I'm not saying they're a championship team. They're not. But they will right the ship, and I'm sure they will be a playoff team. You can most likely bet on that. So we'll get to your calls in a little bit, 646-478-5554. But right now on the line, he was one of the stars of one of the most famous TV shows ever from 2004 to 2011. He played the role of Turtle on the show Entourage. He's a huge Knicks fan. He caught the thriller Saturday night when the Knicks almost had a chance to lose to the Cavs. And let's welcome to the show Jerry Ferrara. Jerry, what's going on, man?
How you doing, my man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for giving me a few minutes.
Ah, my pleasure. Anything to talk Knicks. And I like the way you said that, 2004 to 2011. It made it sound like I've had like a trading card. You could look up my individual years on the back. I like that.
Yeah, definitely. I remember actually the summer of 04 when the show started was the first, the Knicks had just gotten Marbury in the middle of the season prior. And that summer, I was so confident that Stephon Marbury was going to turn the Knicks around. And that summer, I was so pumped up. And obviously, nothing turned around. But it wasn't all Steph's fault, to be fair. But I remember that summer and thinking that
no,
Steph's going to turn the Knicks around.
No, it definitely wasn't all Marbury's fault. I think, too, we were in the middle of shooting. I think I made the wardrobe department rush out and get a Marbury jersey for my character. And, I went to New York High School. I watched Marbury play back in his days in Lincoln. So I too, thought, like, he was going to be the savior. And it wasn't all on him. You can't put it all on him. But anyway, we're looking good now.
Definitely looking good now. I saw you at the game on Saturday night. Was Saturday night your first game of the year at the Garden this year?
That was my first game this season at the Garden. Yeah, the last game I was at was toward the end of the year last year, the Easter Sunday game, which was a thriller as well, against the Bulls, which Melo hit a couple of kind of game-winning big-time threes. It was overtime. And then, this was my first game of the 2012-2013 season.
Nice. That was a phenomenal game as well. What did you make of the energy at the Garden, Jerry?
Well, you know, I've been going to Knick games for a long time. I've been watching Knick games even longer. And, even I have to say, even when the Knicks weren't necessarily the best of teams going back to even last year to a degree, but 2-3 years ago, the Garden still always, you know, the fans still came out. They still made noise. They still, you know, cheered as hard as they could. So it wasn't that I felt that the Garden was louder or anything, but there's definitely that electricity. I mean, you know, a game against the Cavs this early in the season that kind of had like a playoff atmosphere to it. Maybe it's because Melo was out and Kyrie Irving basically put on a show and it was a close game, but man, it was just an electric environment. It was different than it's been the last few years.
Oh, it was. And I'll say this about the Garden, and even over the last 12 years when, you know, I've basically been at every game in the last 12 years and it's been brutal. But it's a Tuesday night, it's March, the Knicks are 30 games under 500. I'll say the Garden crowd is always behind the team, but like you said, it's a little bit different now. I mean, the fans feel that this year could be something special, and it's a different type of buzz.
Yeah, and you know, what's great about, obviously, I mean, what's great about basketball is, you know, it is such a long season where, you know, even if things don't start off well for you, you still can turn it around with a big second half. But statistically speaking, teams that kind of start the way the Knicks have started, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm just scarred from the last few years. Like, I just get me in the playoffs. And obviously, if you look at the start this year, you can almost say, oh, well, the Knicks are going to make the playoffs, so, you know, don't worry about that. I am, like, treading with caution. I'm just, like, I guess I'm just used to, you know, the last few years where it's not a foregone conclusion to me, you know. But this kind of start is exactly what we needed. I really cannot remember the last time we've gotten off to a start like this. And I just want to keep the momentum, and hopefully we continue to get healthy. And I don't know, man. I can't say the Knicks are back because, for me, they never left. But because I always still love watching them, but they're just playing really, really good basketball.
And you mentioned about the last time the Knicks had a start like this, you have to go back to 96-97. The last time the Knicks won 50 games was 99-2000, but after in mid-December that year, they were only about four games over 500. 96-97, to me, was the last really great Knicks team that got screwed in the second round of the playoffs with the fight with Miami. That team ended up winning 57 games.
Yeah, that fight was brutal, too. I remember that fight well, like most Knicks fans. That fight did not benefit us at all.
But that was the last time a Knicks team, you know, even, you know, a month and a half into the year where you really felt, you know, that team and this team now. I mean, when you look at this team right now, Jerry, month and a half in, 18, I mean, think about it. The Knicks lost last night. It was a terrible loss, but no Melo, no Sheed, obviously no Amari and Chumber. But think about it, Jerry. Last night was December 17th, and that was their first home loss. How about that? Who would have thought?
Well, that's – and you know what? The Knicks I grew up on, and the Knicks you're talking about, you know, 96, 97. And I go back, I really started watching basketball in 1990. I'll show my age a little bit. So, obviously, I've witnessed Michael Jordan kind of torment all Knicks fans my whole basketball life. And the one thing I got to say is just, you know, the Garden has always just been – obviously, it's the Mecca. It's where everyone gets up to play in the Garden. But there was always that sense in the 90s where, like, if you're going to beat us, you're going to have to almost kill us on this court. It was defend this house at all costs. And obviously, it was just a different team, you know. You're talking Ewing, Oakley, Mason, you literally will have to physically kill those guys. And I don't really think many guys in the league were going to win a physical battle with those three, you know. So, but it was always about the home court advantage. It meant something. Like, if you had to go through the Garden, chances are you were not going to make it out. Unless you were Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, unfortunately. But that's kind of what I'm feeling again, where the pride of playing it at home and just the fact that, you know, they just refused to lose at home. And, you know, the first loss, like I said, actually, a lot of guys were missing. And you're not going to go undefeated in the season at home. It's just a fact. So, but I just love the way they're literally defending that court.
Absolutely. And the one thing about this Knicks team, even in the games they lost, and they've only lost six games, and only two of the six they lost, they got blown out. How about both of them by the Rockets, no less. But every game that the Knicks are in, you go back to the Spurs game when they came back, the Nuggets game, they were down 8 points in the fourth quarter at the Garden last Sunday. You just have this feeling that they're going to come back. They're going to find a way to win. It's just a really different team. And that starts with the play of Carmelo Anthony. I mean, he right now, Jerry, he's a candidate for MVP. Talk about the play of Carmelo, what you've seen so far.
Well, the biggest thing that I've seen, obviously, first of all, all his numbers are up, and he's just shooting the ball really well. But I think the reason why is even his field goal percentages are up and his three-point percentages are up is he's just taking good shots, and he's really in rhythm. I think with a guy like Carmelo Anthony, for him, he's been scoring his whole life. It really is just about rhythm. But the best thing I like, obviously, he's doing a lot of the little things now. He's rebounding better. He's playing defense more. But the biggest thing I've seen in these Knicks, and obviously there have been major changes on this team, but with any team, if you look around the NBA, if you even go to the Lakers and you think why the Lakers maybe struggle and they have a lot of individual talent, the team chemistry, at least that what I've seen as a fan and an observer from the outside, is just at an all-time high. It starts with Mike Woodson. The players trust him. He trusts his players. He empowers his players with that trust. J.R. Smith particularly, I like how he pushes J.R. Smith. And that's the thing. I think, you know, adding Jason Kidd certainly helped. You know, adding Roddy Brewer, who is more of a he's not a me guy. He's more of just a whatever you need guy. Defense, slashing, layups, free throws. He's just making the little things. That to me, I mean, it's kind of like the model the Spurs have been using for over a decade. Team play. The Knicks team play right now. They're not a one-man team as well as Carmelo is doing. And he's putting up an MVP-like season to this point. They're not a one-man show. And we're not even at full strength yet. So I'm just proud of this team and the chemistry. And if you look around the NBA, the teams that are playing well, either the teams that have been together for a long time or have that connection with each other and with their coach, where it is a team game and team chemistry.
I think one thing, Jerry, that Mike Woodson, is that he's done a great job of defining roles. Right, Melo's the primary scorer, you know, Ray's the primary point guard, and Jason Kidd is almost like a one-and-a-half guard playing the two. And, you know, Tyson Chandler does what he does with the tip-outs and the block shots. And, you know, Sheed has been a great addition with, you know,
great addition.
The, he's like an assistant coach out there. Sheed's been awesome. And like when the Jason Kidd, no one thought he would play this good. And he's like another assistant coach as well.
You know, I really got to tip my hat to the Knicks front office. And by no means, look, we haven't won anything yet. You know, we're not in the finals. People are talking about, can the Knicks beat Miami in the play? Look, this season has just started. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm only judging up to this point. Up to this point, I give a tip of my hat to the front office and whoever has been involved in. It's a risk. They went, you know, getting guys like Jason Kidd, Rasheed Wallace, obviously we're the oldest team probably ever to play the game of basketball. And maybe you have to go back to the 60s. But, you know, they went with veteran leadership, guys who want to win, who always feel like they're playing for something, not playing for stats. They're playing for the win. And I tip my cap to Jim because it's obviously a roll of the dice. You know, Jason Kidd's been one of my favorite players in this league for a long time. You know, you don't know what kind of shape he's in, how he could hold up. Same thing with Rasheed Wallace. No one was looking at Rasheed Wallace. He came back because he wanted to show the young guys how to post. He said, I don't like the way the post game's being played. There's a guy who's playing for something. I just tip my hat to this point. I don't know if it'll work. I don't know if we'll win a championship. I don't know if we'll get to the Eastern Conference Finals. But to this point, I'm tipping my cap to the Knicks front office.
Talking to Jerry Ferrara right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Jerry, you mentioned the team's not at full strength yet. Still no Amari Stoudemire, still no Iman Shumpert. Amari could be a few weeks away still. Actually, maybe even next week. Obviously, I don't think there's going to be a problem with Shump coming back. You know, it's still going to be tough to find him minutes because Ronnie Brewer's playing well, JR's playing well, Kidd's playing well, and Felton's playing well. But the big talk is Amari Stoudemire. He'll be back before Shumpert. What are your thoughts on Amari coming back? Should he start? Should he not? Can he fit in? What are your thoughts on Amari coming back?
I mean, here are my thoughts. First of all, I think he absolutely should start. Now, Mike Woodson's biggest problem, and I wouldn't even say it's a problem necessarily, but it's something that he's going to have to deal with, is what we were just talking about earlier. Obviously, this team has chemistry. They're in rhythm. They're playing very, very well right now. I can't look at Amari Stoudemire and say, well, if he comes back, he's going to screw up this team. The guy is super, super talented, obviously. He's an all-star. We know what Amari Stoudemire could do. I think on this, it's going to be about just what you said, Mike Woodson carving out the role for Stoudemire. Here's where we want you. Here's the things we need you to do to make this team win. I think Shumpert's going to be fine. He's just young and hungry, and I feel like he will do whatever, and he loves to play defense. The guys who love to play defense, those are the guys I want on my team. I think we're only going to get better. I think you got to start him because for the money that he's getting paid and the position that he should be in New York when the fourth quarter is in the games on the line, he's going to be on the floor. So I don't really see him coming off the bench unless they're just trying to bring him back slowly. But, you know, bring him – they just got to accept each other and put him in the game. I don't see how the Knicks are a worse team with Stoudemire in the roster. So he just got to fit in with the chemistry and everything will be all right. It's a big test for Mike Woodson.
And if you look at Amari's best years offensively, he does his best work playing off the play of great point guards. And we saw what he could do with Ray Felton. And Jason Kidd is Jason Kidd. And Pablo knows how to move the ball. So they're just going to play pick and roll, pick and pops with Amari, and set Amari up and put him in positions to succeed.
Well, if we remember back, and I'm sure, you know, obviously all Knicks fans do, you know, before we acquired Carmelo Anthony, Ray Felton was on his way to an all-star year. And Amari Stoudemire was an early MVP candidate back when we had Ray Felton. We all know what happened after that. And I think, again, going to the front office, I think we got the right guy at point. And Mike Woodson didn't necessarily change too much of D'Antoni's offense. Obviously, he had the wrinkles and made it more his offense. But it's a pick-and-roll team. Raymond Felton and Morris Thomas run that pick-and-roll all day. I mean, how do you really hedge and potentially double-team a pick-and-roll when you got Carmelo Anthony on the floor? I think it's a matchup nightmare. It's just about team play. If all these guys put the win above the personal stuff, be it points, stats, whatever, this team is going to be a major threat. They already are.
I agree, Jerry. You're in L.A. a lot. You're around the country. What are people not in New York saying about the Knicks? I'm a little curious. Like, when you're in L.A. Hanging out, what
I won't lie. You know, out there in L.A., in Lakerland, Laker country, whatever you want to call it, there's a lot of not buying it yet. You know, and if I memory serves me correctly, a lot of friends I have who are big Laker fans out there in L.A. saying, well, wait till Kobe goes to the Garden. Everyone's talking about, wait till they play the Lakers. And I'm like, okay. Look, first of all, I'd love to see – I'm a Kobe Bryant fan. I love watching Kobe play. But I think that game had just happened when the Lakers came to the Garden, kind of silenced the critics a little bit in LA, and I think people are, I can't say walking around with fear of the Knicks, but as the Knicks are no longer under the radar, and I don't know if they ever really were. I mean, it's the Knicks. They start winning a string of games, people notice. Look what they did last year, 15 games with Jeremy Lin. People notice the Knicks are back. So, people, it's a wait and see. It's a wait and see.
Who's your favorite now? I want to ask you a few more, you know, questions on the Knicks growing up. By the way, did you see the? I'm seeing it on TV right now. You see the uniforms the Knicks are wearing Christmas Day? I'm not really feeling them. Have you seen them yet, Jerry?
Yeah, I've seen it. You know what? I'm just a purist when it comes to jerseys. You know, I'm just stuck in my old ways. I'm stuck. Like I do enjoy some throwbacks, but I don't like when they throw it back too far. And I'm just a purist, man. I don't really love a lot of stuff that goes on with uniforms, but you know what? It's one game. It's one game.
Well, yeah, it's one game and people are going to buy them, so they know what they're doing. But I'm just
exactly,
not feeling them.
Exactly. I get the business point of it. You know, I'm like, yeah, I'm a purist. Like, I leave it the way it is.
Who is your favorite Knick of all time?
My favorite Knick of all time, and, you know, I don't know how people feel about this because he did so much good, but then he's also remembered for not the best game, but John Starks for me. You know, that was my generation, you know, 93 to 2000. And I just love how he kind of came out of nowhere, was an underdog. No one really knew much about John Starks and just the way he played. Now, I know all about 2-for-19 and all that. But like Patrick Ewing even says, we're not in the finals without John Starks. And that's my favorite Nick. That's my favorite Nick. He's very and I've had the pleasure of meeting him. And it's just, it was the biggest, you know, biggest thrill for me because I wanted to play like John Starks when I was a kid.
So you were one of the guys, probably like myself, as well, one of the guys in the playground gunning up the threes, huh?
Oh, I throw up the three balls. And see, I even like the gritty dudes. I like the, you know, Chris Childs, Derek Harper. I like those gritty guys as well, you know. Derek Harper, I mean, created a defense. He created the hand check.
Yep.
You know, he literally created a defensive style that was copied and then outlawed because it was so effective.
Yeah, actually, Starks was the first, when I started doing shows, Starks was the first guy I ever interviewed. He was like my hero growing up.
Man, well, that dunk game had a huge impact. That was one of the first, like, electrifying plays I had ever seen in, like, a crunch time of a game. And that from there, I mean, I was a fan before that, but I just, you know, I don't know. I always felt like I understood John Starks. Even when he was headbutting Reggie Miller, I still felt like I understood what that dude was feeling.
I think the average fan that worked hard in his life, and anybody can relate to John Starks. Dude was bagging groceries. Let's be honest. He wasn't that skilled. He had a decent jump shot, but worked his freaking ass off harder than everybody, and that's why
we
all love John
fire,
Starks.
When he caught fire, though, it was a wrap. He was one of the streakiest guys. I mean, if he caught fire, there's nothing you could do to stop him.
And he started pounding his chest. Oh, when he got caught fire, you're right. It was so much fun.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
What's your favorite Knick memory that you experienced?
Well, you know, I was talking about that dunk game definitely ranks up there for me. The Larry Johnson 4-point play ranks up there for me. But if I really had to hammer it down to one, it was only because how much I hated, you know, the Heat based off those Knick Heat rivalries. The Allen Houston runner in Game 7 that kind of bounced, or I don't know if it was Game 5 or Game 7. I don't know what they were playing back then, but I believe
five,
it was the first round.
Five,
the one that, you know, rattled around and went in. That's me. That's just huge. But my number one is the Patrick Ewing dunk put back to send them to the finals. That's my number one.
Yeah, that was awesome, man. That was awesome. It's so funny because, I mean, I don't know, for some, I was 10 years old for that, and I was like,
yeah, I was
we lost
around,
in the finals.
Yeah.
We lost in the finals that year, and I'm like, it's okay. I'm going to get my championship one day, and here we are in 2012, and we still haven't got our championship.
Yep.
What would
all-time lows, Charles Smith, obviously. I cried like a baby,
yeah.
And I think I stayed home from school after that game. And, you know, the Patrick Ewing finger roll. Those are my two black eyes that I'll never
see. The thing about the Charles Smith, though, and as horrible as that was, it was only 93. So you still said to yourself, you still got Ewing in his prime. This team still has a few years left. I mean, and they basically were competitive until 2000.
Yeah, but to be up 2-0 and then to lose 4-8, I mean, that was also the first kind of big comeback I ever witnessed. You know, being up 2-0 when you're a kid, you just think, wow, no one can come back from that. This one's over. We finally, you know, we beat Jordan. And then just to see the way the Bulls team was like, hang on 1 second, we got something else to say. So it was crazy. Good times, man.
And if you go back to 94, I know we beat the Bulls. And to me, it wasn't the same without – I mean, I had Mason on the show, and he said it felt just as good. There's no way – I mean, I wasn't playing, but there's no way it felt just as good to beat the Bulls in 94 without Jordan. I don't buy that.
You know what? I kind of – I don't disagree with you there. But in the same breath, I remember as a kid just being like, I'll take it.
Oh, of course you'll take it.
I was more than happy to watch Jordan sit out for a year and go play some baseball.
Jerry, I know you got to bounce in a sec. Are you still in town?
I am still in town, yes.
Are you going tomorrow night to the Knicks-Nets game?
No, I think I'm going to be at – I'm hoping to be at Friday night's game against the Bulls if all works out. I'll be there screaming my head off.
Okay, well, I'll be there tomorrow, and I'll be there Friday. I hope it's gonna be another fun game tomorrow. I think Melo's going to be another game-time decision, so hopefully he plays. But at the same time, you don't want to rush him back. It's only December.
See you at the Garden, my man. Thanks for having me on.
Jerry, thank you so much, man. Have a great night.
All right, Anthony, you too.
Take care. That was Jerry Ferrara from the famous show Entourage right here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. 646-478-5554 is the number, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Give me a call. Talk some Knicks. It's awesome talking with Jerry. That's a diehard fan right there. Definitely knows his stuff. So we're going to take a quick 30-second break, and we'll be right back right here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Radio 646-478-5554. Great job out of Jerry Ferrara. And if you're just tuning in, you can log on to AnthonyDonahue.com or theKnicksBlog.com after the show, and you can hear the replay of that interview. 646-478-5554. A lot to talk about. The Nets are in town tomorrow. Well, I guess the Nets are always in town. They're playing the Jazz right now because I guess they are in. We do share the city with them, kind of. Knicks will be playing the Bulls Friday, so a lot of good games ahead. Knicks with I might be calling that a bad loss last night. Just a good old-fashioned ass-kicking at the Garden to the Houston Rockets. So let's go to the call. 646-478-5554 is the number, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's go to Frank in Queens. Frank, you're on the air, theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. What's up, Frank?
Not much, man. How you been?
Good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, it's awesome actually hearing Jerry on the show. You know, I remember watching Entourage, and he always had a Knicks jersey on every once in a while.
Oh, he's diehard.
Yeah. I didn't even know he was that big of a fan. I just thought it was a thing, you know, because in the show they say he's from New York. I figured it was just a stint, but that's pretty cool that he's a diehard fan. He actually knows what he's talking about too.
He knows what he's talking about. He knows his stuff. Yeah,
definitely. And some of the things he said I thought were interesting. You know, the Shumpert thing and the guys, you know, how Glenn Grunwald right now, you know, it could be one of the executives of the year, if not the front runner for that. But I think he brought up an interesting point how, you know, if this team starts to break down and their age, you know, becomes a factor later in the season, are the same fans that called, you know, for him to be put up on a pedestal, are they going to call for his head? I think that's an interesting perspective to think about, you know, when looking at this team. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, listen, it's always hindsight. It's 2020. So when the moves are made, sometimes you agree, sometimes you disagree. It's all about seeing how the moves play out. And so far, all the moves Glenn Grunwald has made have played out, have worked.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's
still early
in the season, but right now they're working out.
Absolutely. And I thought it was interesting last night how, you know, a bunch of fans were you know, getting ready to jump ship after that Jeremy Lin game.
Yeah, you know what? That's insane. Like, listen, as a fan, was I mad last night? Yeah. But,
of course.
So I started to think back to the years when the Knicks were actually really awesome, back in the 90s. And when the Knicks would lose, I would throw a tantrum. I would throw a fit.
Absolutely.
But there's a difference. And if you wanted to throw a tantrum last night, that's fine. But there's a difference between getting mad at a loss and giving up on your team. So back in the day when the Knicks were always good and they'd lose, I'd be pissed off. But I never said, oh, this is not going to work. So I had fans tweeting me last night acting like it wasn't going to work. No, it was a bad just a bad game.
Yeah. And if you think about it, I mean, you know, every team throws in that stinker. You know, I mean, you could say the Heat have had a few this year. You know, even if you look at Oklahoma City, they had one. You know, the Spurs have had a few. So every good team has a stinger. It's 82 games.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're allowed to get 3 or 4 games, you know, where it's, hey, it's not my night no matter what we do. And if you look at some of the shots that Houston was making last night, you know, Delfino looked like an all-star.
He's a good shooter. No, if Delfino gets an inch to shoot, he can knock it down.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, another thing I thought was interesting, I actually talked about this on my Streetcast last week about Shumpert. And, you know, when Shumpert comes back, I'm interested to see how they play him. You know, if Brewer's minutes go down, you know, what they do with Kidd, if they level Kidd out a little bit, not force him to play, you know, 30 minutes a night. But I'm interested to see, because right now I feel like the Knicks are benefiting from almost having two point guards, two generals on the floor at once. I think it helps ball movement. It helps that extra pass. You know, we've seen so far the Knicks have gotten open looks, you know, that's why their three-point percentage is so high. They're getting so many great looks. And I feel like, you know, if you take one of those point guards off the floor, I'm interested to see how their ball movement works. I know their defense will be, you know, be a lot better, especially when you look at a game like last night when Harden, you know, really did whatever the hell he wanted. And I feel like with Shumpert on him, he may have had, you know, some deterrent there. But
well, Harden's a damn good player.
See,
Harden's going to do what he does regardless.
Oh,
yeah, Shumpert's a much better defender, but Harden's going to do what he does.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be interesting to see offensively the flow, you know, because he's such an energy guy, and I love that. I love Amon Shumpert. You know, when they talked about trading him this summer for, you know, for Steve Nash, I was like, no, don't do that. I mean, I love his energy. You know, I love everything about him. He's, you know, the only young guy on the team, really. But I'm interested to see how the ball movement works. So I feel like Jason Kidd and Raymond Felton together, it's almost like having, you know, two excellent point guards on the floor, and I feel like that's why Melo and, you know, Novak and guys like that are, you know, getting such great looks. So I'm interested to see that complexity, you know, when Amon comes back. What do you think about that?
Boy, I think a lot, but I'm not going to lie. I consider myself a Knicks expert because I have the Knicks radio show, but I don't have a freaking answer for that, man.
Yeah,
I was talking about with Jerry, you got Ronnie Brewer playing good ball. You have Ronnie playing good ball. You have Jason Kidd playing good ball. You have J.R. Smith playing good ball. You have Raymond Felton playing good ball. You know, yeah, Shump can play the two or the three. So the Knicks are going to have some problems. Not bad. They're not bad problems.
Absolutely
for Woody
not
to have.
Yeah.
But are they problems? Yeah, but I'm sure they're having meetings about it and talking about it already. But there's going to be some issues right there. And hopefully it won't affect the camaraderie or the
chemistry.
But, you know, it's going to be tough to find minutes. It just is. It's a
fact. And I think it's been good that he's been with the team and he's been a part of the team. So the camaraderie, I feel like, with him is really almost there already. I mean, even though it's not on the floor, he's still involved. You know, he's doing the huddle before the game on the court. You know, he's on the bench all the time. I feel like the camaraderie thing with him may be more of an issue for Stoudemire than him, just because he's been around the team all the time. I don't know. That's kind of my take on it. Who knows? You know, that's the cool thing about letting these games unfold is, you know, we all get to see and, you know, we can speculate all we want, but, you know, what does it really mean?
Absolutely. Well, Frank, great job with the call, man. Thank you. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Oh, this is Mike. This is Frank. Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I look at the board. All right, Frank, great job, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, dude.
Have a good one. 646-478-5554 is the number, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Sorry, Frank, my bad. Let's get back to the calls, and let's go to Mike in Jersey. Mike, you're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Stop now. You know what? That's outrageous. You're not outrageous.
Mike?
Mike.
I'm going to give you 2 seconds. All right, Mike, if you want to call back, feel free to. Just please turn your TV off. 646-478-5554 is the number, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Back to the phones we go, and let's go to T from the Bronx. T, you're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Yo, Tone, what's good, baby?
What's up, T? How are you?
You know, man, just living a life. That's all I can do, brother.
Living a life, baby. Everything is good, man. How are you?
You know, just chilling, man. Just wrapping up a new TV show. That's it.
Okay. Can you share what show?
666 Park Avenue.
Okay. How's that going?
They got canceled. It was on ABC. So, you know, so I'll move on to the next one. Hopefully I get on a movie or another TV show. But, you know, it is what it is. Move on. You know, focus on some Knicks. How's everything with you, Tom?
Everything is good, man. Life is good.
Yeah, so, you know, I want to touch bases on these Knicks. I don't want Amari Stoudemire coming off the bench. I feel as if, you know, our interior defense is a big problem in terms of this the rebounding is concerned. So they definitely have to put Amari Stoudemire in the starting lineup. And I think, you know, going back to last year when Woodson took over, the Knicks were 8-2 with both of them in the starting lineup. You know, I mean, they did pretty well. They did pretty well with Amari and Carmelo in the starting lineup. They did pretty well, right? Remember?
Yeah, no, I do after the Woody took over. And the thing is, listen, I'm fine with Amari starting. If Amari comes off the bench and he's cool, then I'm fine with that. At the end of the day, T, it comes down to who's finishing basketball games. Nobody remembers who's starting. Latrell Sprewell didn't start for the Knicks that run to the finals. Okay?
He didn't, yeah.
If Amari starts, that's cool. But at the end of the day, it's about who's playing in the fourth quarter. That's what it's all about.
He started. Sprewell started.
No, he didn't. Not until game four versus the Pacers. Whole first,
sure,
second half
that?
Conference, I am 100% positive.
Really?
He had an injury early in the year. He came back, and Jeff brought him off the bench. He didn't start until game four versus the Pacers.
So who was in the starting lineup?
The starting lineup was Charlie Ward, Allen Houston, Larry Johnson, Kurt Thomas, and Patrick Ewing. And they brought Camby, Spree, and Childs off the bench. The main guys off the bench were Camby, Spree, Childs, and Chris Dudley.
Yeah, but then
four guys on the bench.
But then eventually they did go with a three-guard lineup. They went with Childs.
Yeah,
no, they didn't go with Childs. Childs went to the bench. Went with Charlie Ward. Then went with
Spree and Houston.
They went with Charlie Ward, and they went with Allen Houston, and they went with Latrell Sprewell, right?
Yeah, I mean, most of the time Houston and Spree played together because usually Kurt or LJ would go to the bench, or even, you know, but usually, you know, Spree was playing 35 minutes a game. He just wasn't starting.
Really? I could have sworn he was starting all this time.
Nah, he didn't start till game four. And then the next whole season when they went to the conference finals, they started. He started, but that run to the finals, he didn't start till game four of the conference finals.
Of the conference finals? You should? Nah, I got to do some research about that. Because even when they – what did they face? They faced the Hornets in the second round. They swept them.
In the second round, they played the Hawks.
I'm going to have to do some research on that. I could have sworn he was starting all that time.
They played the Hornets in the first round in 1997 and swept them. That was in 97.
So, they played the Hawks in the second round, but we swept the Hawks.
Yep. They had Steve Smith, Dikembe Mutombo, Chris Crawford, Mookie Blaylock. Yep, we swept them.
Okay, cool. You know,
Chris Dudley, if you remember this, had a big game three at the Garden, and the whole Garden crowd was chanting, Dudley, Dudley.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep.
I got to do my research.
Little random facts for you.
Okay. What's the deal with Carmelo? I'm kind of scared because of that injury. I think it's a little bit more serious than what it is. I mean, they didn't have any rest.
You know, it's happened in sports where teams have said, injuries weren't that bad, and all of a sudden they're out a month. So hopefully we pray as fans, you know, as bigger things in life, but as sports fans, I guess we pray and hope it's not that bad, because obviously being without Carmelo for an extended period of time would be a huge problem.
And you already know, with Carmelo, you know, with the Knicks organization, they're very secretive when it comes to
their
players.
They are.
You know, so you can't trust that. But well, so it's still a, what is it, a light sprain, mild sprain, what?
Well, say it's his ankle and his knee.
His ankle and his knee? So what's the deal with his knee? Is it sore or is it?
Both.
Both? Yeah, because he fell pretty hard.
Yeah, he did. He did. That was a nasty fall. No question.
He definitely was a nasty fall. You know? Yeah, you know, but I like our chances going into the conference finals. Well, actually, to the finals. I mean, if we're all healthy, I can see us going all the way. I can see us
all the
way.
It almost sounds crazy to say.
Yeah, I can definitely see us playing the Clippers in the final, either the Clippers or the Thunder. I think that would be a great matchup. I would prefer the Clippers. Well, it doesn't really matter, but I think the Clippers are deep just like us. I mean, I even predicted this before the, you know, by the beginning of the season. I always thought that, you know, the Clippers and the Knicks were identical as far as, you know, the roster concerned, because they both have savvy veterans and they're deep. You know, so I think it's going to be Clippers and the Knicks in the finals. I think we have what it takes to beat Miami. You know, they can't deal with our outside shooting, you know, and our perimeter players. I mean, once we get Stat back and we establish, you know, a post game with him, you know, we just play inside out. I mean, we could definitely play inside out with both Stat and Melo. And if either one get double teamed, you know, we got shooters, you know, surrounding the perimeter, you know, but we'll figure it out. But it's a great
speaking. Yeah, still got a lot of time to go. Still got a lot of time to go.
You know, I'm watching this Brooklyn Nets game right now. You know, I can't
tight
stand
one up. Wow, Utah is up 92-88 with 31.6 seconds left.
Yo,
they
Tone, you ever go, are you on that Knicks versus Nets page?
I mean, I see it.
Oh, you see it? Okay. Yeah, we go at it with them all the time.
I know, I see that.
You see it? You don't comment. You should start promoting the show on that.
I watch. I watch what's going on, T.
Oh, okay. You just watch it. You being a lowrider. You don't, you know, you don't want to put
laying,
it out there.
I'm laying back in the cut.
You laying back in the cut.
Yep.
Okay. what's his name? Did Turtle come on?
Yes, he did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Came out at the start of the show. Came out for about 20 minutes.
Oh, he started the show? All right, that's good.
Yeah, he was on about 5 minutes in, he came on. Came out for about 20 minutes.
All right, that's what's up. Is he a regular in the Garden?
A few times a year. He lives out in L.A. He's a Knicks fan, though. He lives out in L.A., though.
Oh, okay, that's good.
He knows his Knicks stuff. But you go back listening to the show, like, he knows his Knicks stuff.
Really?
He's a real fan.
Ben Stiller on there. That's what you need to get.
Yeah.
I'll work with Ben Stiller, too. He's a nice guy. You should try to get Ben Stiller. He's a big-time Knicks fan.
Well, if you can hook that up for me. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know about all that.
I've never talked to Ben yet, but I'll have to talk to him.
Well, I worked with him on a film, and he was, like, he's a big-time Knicks fan. It was
right
to the point where you couldn't talk about, you know. I remember that game. What game was that? It was last year during the playoffs. It was game 4 against Miami at the Garden. And we're working on the film, and you couldn't talk about the results on set, like who won, because he DVR'd every game.
Oh, wow.
He wanted to find out after we finished shooting.
Oh, that's intense.
You know, so that's how deep it is with him. I used to wear my Knick gear. I forgot. I didn't even know he was a Knicks fan at first. And I just, like, wore my Knicks gear to set, and he would just, you know, engage in conversations with me about the Knicks. You know, for some reason, I thought he was a Lakers fan, you know. But
yeah, no, a lot of stars seem to be.
Yeah, but he's, like, real into the Knicks, and I was just, you know, surprised. And, you know, and he was even talking about he didn't even want Jeremy Lin back. He said, I'll take Jason Kidd. Actually, he wanted Steve Nash. That's between me and you.
All
you know,
good.
But,
three people listening.
I'm thinking we're on a private phone call, but whatever.
You think that. I got like three people listening.
Yeah, but, you know, it is what it is. But he wasn't a fan of Jeremy Lin.
Okay.
But, I'll holler at you, Tom, man. It's good speaking to you. I know I haven't called in a while. you know, been crazy just working out here. But we'll get it. We try to get up over the holidays. So I'm gonna try to catch a game or two.
Be good, man.
The Timberwolves game, all right?
All right, T.
Peace, brother.
All right, have a good one. 646-478-5554 is the number, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Back to the phones we go, and let's talk to Mike from New Jersey. Mike, you're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Mike? I just want to laugh right now. Okay. Thank you for the song, though. Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, listen. If you got to really, really have no life pranking my radio show. Really? Really. I don't care. It's funny, but, I mean, you're pranking my radio show. Well, it's been a fun show tonight. Got a big week of games ahead. Nets tomorrow, round three. It's a two-point game now at the Barclays Center. Utah's up 92-90, 14.5 seconds up. The Jazz are inbounding, so the Nets are most likely, well, the Nets are going to foul right away. They'll go for a steal. And if Utah, they don't get a steal, they'll foul. And then Utah just got to make free throws. And the Nets almost had a steal. And they, no, they have. The Nets have stolen the ball. The Nets have the ball. 8 seconds left. Over to Joe Johnson. Out to Gerald Wallace for three. He misses. Rebound Reggie Evans. Reggie for the tie. He misses. And the Utah Jazz escape Barclays Center with a win. And the Nets go into the Garden limping again. That was intense. Well, it's been a fun show tonight, as always. Got to thank all my callers. You guys did a great job. Thank my producer, Billy the Kid. Billy, you were phenomenal. Thank Jerry Ferrara, one of the stars of Entourage, for coming on my show to talk to you, Nick.
Yeah.
I want to tell everybody, have a Merry Christmas. I'll be back on the air next week. Have a good night, everybody. Take care.